Samuel, chapter 9, and it's a familiar text. It's been a while since I preached from here. 2 Samuel, chapter 9. 2 Samuel chapter 9. We're going to parade and peruse the periphery of verse 1 through 9. I know that's 9 verses, but don't panic, okay? I won't be very, very long. I put very, very on that. I know one verse I can go a while, but we got 9. So y'all got to say amen and push me along, all right? When you have it, say, I have the word, and I'm ready to receive it. And David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called unto him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan had yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Micah, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Mecher, the son of Amiel, from Lodibar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, behold thy servant. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee and all the land of Saul, thy father. And thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Verse 9. Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertaineth to Saul and to all his house. Amen. May God of the blessing to his hearers do his of his word, the grass wither, the flower fade, but the word of God stands forever. Amen. 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 I want to pose the question from the thought, the tag, the title of this message. Is there anyone in the house? Is there anyone in the house? The book of 2 Samuel It is a continuation of 1 Samuel, originally one book. They were broken up for the canon of the Bible. Samuel is the first prophet and last judge of Israel to really lead Israel. Samuel started a school known as the School of the Prophets, where now we still today have schools for people to be trained in ministry. Amen. Amen. Some of us here, we go to the seminary. But Samuel, he was the first one to start such a school. And he taught people how to hear from God. He taught them how to properly worship. He taught them how to properly give a word from the Lord. Amen. And so it was Samuel that anointed David king. And the thing about this is that Samuel anointed him king, and David had to go through some stuff even though he knew that he had already been anointed. I know we sometimes think that just because we get saved that things ought to stop. Nothing bad ought to happen. But because you've been anointed, because you are who you are, things begin to happen. the Bible tells us that the enemy, and when the word is sown, just check this out. When the word is sown today, the enemy will come, but we got to know how to handle it. Amen. And the Bible says the word is sown that immediately, not later on, not next year, but immediately the enemy comes to choke up what you have heard. Amen. And so when David got a word, he got anointed. Now, when David got anointed, it was a special situation because they would take a cruse of oil, a bottle of oil, and Samuel would walk by and pour, try to pour it. And if the oil didn't come out, that wasn't anointed. But he would hold it over their head, and if it didn't run out, then that means God didn't choose them. Amen. You ought to be able to tell who's chosen by the anointing. But anyway, Samuel would do that, and he did that for all of David's brothers, and they didn't think a whole lot of David because he was a youngster out by, you know, he wanted to spend time by himself out in the wilderness with the sheep and stuff like that. He had seemed like no ambition, and sometimes people think you don't want nothing, but they don't know what God has for you. They don't know what's inside of you, and that's a good thing that people don't know what's inside of you, because if they knew, they would try to rob you of what you got. Yeah, so it's a good thing. They didn't know what was inside of David. And David, the Bible says that Samuel asked Jesse, he said, Jesse, you don't have another boy. You got to have somebody else because God told me. I know I don't miss God. I know what he told me. Amen. And so he said, I got one more, but he ain't nothing. I mean, he out with the sheep. He probably stinking. And so he ain't ready for to come to church today because he out there messing with the sheep. And so David came, and when David came, the oil flowed on his head. But did you know that David had to go through three anointings before he could get to where he was supposed to be? He had to go through three different levels. He had to go through three different situations of anointing because he had to get to become the king. Now, the thing about this is that once David became king, he didn't do like some of us would have done. He didn't want to pay back everybody that done him wrong. When God blesses you, that's the right time to let your enemies know, I'm blessed to be a blessing. When God blesses you, that's not a time for you to turn your hand from being a blessing. Not a time to turn your nose up. It's not a time to boast in what you have, but it's a time to bless because of what you have. Amen? And so here it is. We find in this text, so I don't be too long before you, David, whose name means the beloved, he said, is there yet any left in the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? Now, we need to understand this, that Jonathan was Saul's son, who Saul was David's, basically his enemy. And you know, I said this a while back, you know, sometimes people are not our enemy, but they make us their enemy. Y'all, you get what I'm saying? I mean, I don't hate you, but I don't understand why you don't like me. Amen. And so sometimes I don't have to make them my enemy, but they make me their enemy, but I can still be who I am. David, the Bible said that David, he had an opportunity to kill Saul, but all he did was cut off Saul's skirt and showed his naked behind. Come on and say, man. And went back and said, Saul, I could have got you, but I didn't, just to show you how much God I got in me. But David was convicted for even touching him. He said, I shouldn't have even touched the Lord's anointed. And that ought to teach us something, that we, if we're going to be after God's own heart, we shouldn't touch the anointing of God, no matter who they are. No matter what they have done you. Amen. Who is the anointing of God? I ain't talking about just preachers, because sometimes we boast and we try to say, touch not my anointing, do my prophet no harm. But every one of you are anointed. Every one of you, the Bible says you're Christians. And so what the word Christian means is to be Christ-like. What the word Christ means is the Messiah or the anointed one. And so we are the anointed ones. And so therefore, if anybody talk about any of you, including me, that the Bible said that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, that any tongue rising against us, we shall condemn it in the day of judgment. We shall condemn it in the day of judgment, for this is the heritage of the servants of God. So tell somebody, watch your mouth. You better watch what you say about me. David wouldn't, he got convicted. David, look, Saul tried to kill David on several occasions. He sent people to kill David. He wanted to assassinate David. And all because somebody praised him more than he praised Saul. All because the women, you know, y'all women, y'all get the men in trouble. All because the women said that David killed 10,000 and Saul his 1,000. And after that, Saul got mad. Men, y'all need to watch out. And Saul got angry and envious. And let me tell you, you can't, and I say this over and over, you can't do anything about somebody envying you. You can't try to talk them out of envy. You can't try to bless them out of envy. You can't try to help them out of envy. If they hate you, they hate you. And it takes God to work on that. Amen. And so Saul tried to kill David. Saul tried to destroy him. But here it was, after Saul's death, because Jonathan and David, they had such a bond. The Bible says that they had a love for one another more than a love for a man and a woman. In other words, they had an inseparable friendship that, and some, you know, some people try to say, oh, they must have had some kind of, you know, funny type of relationship. No, no, no. What that means is that there wasn't no woman that could come between them. You know, men get mad over women, you know, women get mad over men, you know. And so, but they were saying, he was saying that couldn't nobody come between their relationship. And so Jonathan was such a, he was such a honorable man, a man of war, that one day when he and David had met up, he took off his garments and he put them on David in a sense of prophecy, saying, this one day you're going to wear these because you belong in the royal house. Amen. And that was symbolic of Jesus taking off what belongs to him and putting it on us and clothing us in righteousness. And so he said, is there anyone that I can show kindness to? Because Jonathan and David made a covenant that that Jonathan said, when you become king, make sure you do good to my house. Make sure you do good to my children. Jonathan knew that his day was coming, that he wasn't going to be here. He would never become king, although he was in line to be king. I'm not boring y'all, am I? And so he was in line to be king, but he decided that he knew that God's will was for David to be king. And so he said, when you come to your kingdom, remember me. Don't that sound like the thief on the cross that said, when you come into your kingdom, remember? Okay, David, the Bible says here, I'm going to get to it. I don't think I'm boring y'all. David said, is there anyone in the house of Saul that I may show kindness to? Now, I can understand if he would have just said in the house of Jonathan, because that's who he had the covenant with. That's who the friendship was with. Saul was the one that wanted to kill him. But David said in the house of Saul, somebody who hated his guts, somebody who didn't like him, somebody who had no didn't want to have no dealings with him. Come on and say amen. Somebody who much rather see him dead than to see him live. He said, I want to do some good stuff to somebody who didn't even like me. So he said, for Jonathan's sake, I want to show kindness for Jonathan's sake, right? And when we look at the word kindness, we know kindness is one of is part of is what you produce from the fruit of the Spirit, right? If you really have love, you show kindness. We got to get, you know, I understand how, you know, we do want to get built up in ourselves. We want to be motivated to be proud of who we are. But the Bible tells us to be humble. Amen. And when we show kindness to people, we can't be all abrasive all the time. We can't tell people off every time we want to tell them off. We need to hear what God is saying. When it's time to speak, then speak. We need to learn how to, the Bible says, turn the other cheek. I'm just preaching Bible here. The Bible says, turn the other cheek, because when we don't turn the other cheek, we don't give glory to God. We're not Christ in the situation. Amen. And so we have to learn how to turn the other cheek. You say you can't. Well, the Holy Spirit will help you to do what you can't do. Amen. All right. So he says, I need to show kindness for Jonathan's sake. I need to show kindness because I had a covenant with Jonathan. I got something going on with him. I want to keep my word, just like those two ladies that kept their word. They made it. I want to keep my word to Jonathan. And even though Jonathan ain't here to watch over me keeping this word, I'm going to do it because I'm honorable. See, when you do stuff, it's not because of what somebody's looking at. It's because you're honorable. Because, come on and say amen now. You have to keep the word because of who you are. Ah, okay. And there he says that that I may show kindness. Now, he said first, I want to show kindness. But then he started thinking about it. Boy, Saul, my enemy, and whoever it is that's left might hate my guts because I took Saul's place. And then, so look at what he says in verse 2. And there was of the house of Saul, servant of Ziba. And when he called him, he said, David said unto him, he says in verse 3, and the king said, is there yet any of the house of Saul that I may show kindness of God to him? See, we can give kindness to people, but our kindness only goes as far as when people say thank you. Because if they don't say thank you, the next time they won't come looking for no money from me. I ain't heard from you in 6 weeks. You know I gave you that $500 and I ain't heard a peep from you. Now here you come asking for more money. I don't play that. I ain't got it. That's our kindness. We'll do it the first time. But David came back and said, I might have to keep helping these people. And so I need to show the kindness of God. What's the kindness of God? It's the kindness that never runs out. It's the kindness that always helps us. It's the kindness, the mercies of God, the goodness of God that never fails. His steadfast love never ceases. Do I have anybody? He said, let me show the kindness of God. And Ziba said to the king, Jonathan has a son which is lame on his feet. And we got to understand what he was saying. That David, when he got verse 1 through 4, here's the point. David remembered. He remembered. He remembered where he came from. He remembered the covenant that he had with Jonathan. He remembered that he needed to be the person that he was supposed to be now that he's king. He didn't get pompous and pious and forget about the little people, the suffering people, the people who didn't have anything. And sometimes we come to church and we forget about the people who we need to go back and retrieve and help. We forget about the folks that really need us. We think that we got to take this word and this anointing and this preaching skill that I got and bottle it up in the walls of the church. But I need to come out of here and go out there and tell somebody what thus saith the Lord. And so David remembered what I'm really here for. David remembered that I ain't here to just play around. I ain't here just to sit on the throne and have people serve me. I'm here to be a servant. I wish I had somebody in the house. Jesus said, the greatest among you, let him be servant. The Bible shows us an example of Jesus putting a towel on and saying, I'm going to show you who's going to be the greatest. I put a towel on and wash everybody's feet. I don't have no respect of persons. See, you got people who you like, people who you don't like, people who you want to talk to, people who you don't want to talk to, people who you speak to, who you say, I ain't speaking to them today because I'm mad. You got to stop that. You too fickle. You act, I wish I had somebody. Too many times we come in here and act like we Christian, but we ain't showed no Christianity because we look like we've been baptized in pickle juice, all mad and frowning and fussing, grunting when people speak to you. Instead of saying, hello, good morning, praise the Lord, they speak, you say, don't speak to me like that. You can keep that little mess. I want you to tell me if God is good to you this morning. You ought to say, praise the Lord. He woke me up this morning, started me on my way, put food on my table, clothes on my back. If it had not been for him, I don't know where I'd be. Y'all gotta let me get through this. Oh, hallelujah. David remembered who he was. Imagine him walking through his palace and saying, I gotta do better than this. We've been eating good, and the folks that came over with me, the 600 men that was on my side, my cousins and my friends, my nephews, all of them, I put them in position, but I can't forget about the folks that don't like. I can't forget about the people who didn't think much of me. I got to bless them too. The hardest lesson, one of the hardest lessons I had to learn is somebody that lied on me, talked about me like a dog, like I had a tail and everything. But the Lord had me walk, and I don't like going to Walmart no more anyway, but the Lord had me at Walmart. I walked through, and you might have heard this story, but for the sake of others that didn't, I went through Walmart, and I seen her. I'm like, oh, Lord. You know, come on, I'm going to be honest. Can I be trans? I was like, oh, Lord, I want to go down the fruit aisle, but I'm going to just go over here by the snacks first. Walked around, finally got what I wanted to get. Then the shortest line was the one she was in. I said, well, I'll just shop a little while longer. And the Lord said, no, you ain't. Go get in line right behind. Got in line. She's. Look, I spoke, hey, just look. I said, Lord Jesus. And the Lord said, pay for whatever she got. I said, Lord, I rebuke the devil. You know, when God tells you to do something that you don't want to do, the first thing we say is the devil. You better stop that. So when her stuff went through, I said, I got that. And before I knew it, I swiped my card and I put my card back in there. She said, oh, Lord, thank you. Oh, my God, man of God. I'm like, And that wasn't all. God said, now reach in your pocket and give her $100. I said, I know this got to be the devil. I went on, reached in my pocket, gave her that $100. She went on. I got my stuff and I was going out. She was standing at the door waiting. I just want to apologize for everything I said. And God brought to my remembrance. He said that I will heap hot coals, give your enemy water when he's bread when he's hungry, and I will heap hot coals of fire. In other words, he would sear, he would burn their conscience up. They won't be able to, with a clear conscience, talk about you anymore. Is there anyone in the house that we can show kindness to? Oh, which I don't even know why. He was lame on both feet. He was lame. I'm trying to get back to the text. He was lame on both feet. But notice what Ziba said. He said that there's one. In verse 4, he says, David said, where is he? And he says, he's in the house of Maker, the son of Amiel. In other words, he was in a place where they, you know, he was in Lodibar. I just stopped. I'm not going to get into the other stuff because it might be too much for you. But he was in Lodibar. Lodibar is a barren place. Lodibar is a dry place. And notice this, Lodibar is a place of no word. Let that sink in. Because he was lame. And he was in an unproductive place. He was in a place that nobody gave him no encouragement. Preach. He was in a place where there was no word, no prophecy. There was no praise. There was no worship. He was in a barren place. Nothing that he did was working for him. He was just lame on both feet. And all he was doing was existing. He wasn't even trying to survive. He was just existing, waiting on the day. Oh, I wish I had somebody here. What am I saying here? I'm saying that Mephibosheth, that's what was his name, Mephibosheth, he and note, his name means two things. His name means idol breaker, and it also means a destroyer of shame. See, Saul's family were idolatrous. Saul worshipped idols. He worshipped himself, and he wanted the people to worship him too. Amen. And Jonathan was the only one right in the bunch. And so Mephibosheth's name means idol breaker. He said, you're going to break this idol worship, Mephibosheth. But he wasn't living up to his name. Are you living up to your name? What God called you, are you living up to that? Mephibosheth, he is the destroyer of shame. The shame that was on him was the fact that here he was, a grown man, and he couldn't do for himself. You know, we talk about a grown man that can't do for himself. It's a shame he laying up over there on her and, you know, at his mama house still. You know, we talk about him. You know, that's what we do. Come on, be honest. But we don't know why they're lame. We don't know what their lameness is. We don't know why people are where they are. We don't know what got them in Lodibar. We don't know how they got there. So here he is in Lodibar, a place of no word. And you know you couldn't make it without the word. Amen. Imagine if you already got issues and ain't nobody there to lift you up. I'm going to try to get there, y'all. Bear with me. So here he was. He says he was in Lodibar. Now the story here, and I'm going to give the story probably prematurely, but I feel like I need to tell you why he was lame. In chapter 4, you'll find out that there was a battle of Jezreel the day that Mephibosheth lost his father and his grandfather, the king. The same day, his nurse decides that she's going to run and hide him because what they would do, they would kill all of the sons of the king and anybody that would be there to succeed them in the crown, they would kill them so that they couldn't. And so what she thought she was doing was a good thing. So she took him and she ran with him. But in the process of running to try to hide him, she fell down and broke his legs. Somebody, listen to this, who was trying to help you actually hurt you. Somebody who was supposed to protect you broke you. And this was his situation. He was broken from a little boy. The same day that he lost his father and his grandfather, he lost his ability to walk. Isn't that something? How we let people go, they go through stuff and we talk about their lameness and don't know why they're lame. We can see that they can't walk. We can see that they can't do for themselves. We can see that they're hurting. We can see that they're struggling, and we talk about it, but we don't know what's the real problem. I'm trying to help somebody. Is anybody being helped today? He was lame on both feet. He was lame. And, you know, and it was a good thing she was trying to do, but the bad thing happened. But we can't dwell on the bad thing, because is there anyone in the house today that God can show his kindness to? Now, verse 5 says, and the king said, go fetch him. Now, we see David remembered who he was, and he remembered what he had to do, but then he says, let's retrieve this young man. He said, let's go and get him out. Let's go and fetch him. He says, go and what? Fetch him out of the house of Maker and the son of Amiel, from Lo Debar. Bring him out of that barren place. Bring him out. Lord have mercy. Thank God for those who will go get him. Are you a go getter? I'm going to go get her. I'm going to go get him. We got to go get people out of Lo Debar. We have to get them out of their dry place. Get them out of their barren place. Get them out of the place of no word and bring them a word and let them know that there got to be some water for you. What is the water? The water is the word that refreshes you to get you up, get you out of your mess. And even though he was still lame, but he went got him out of Lo Debar. See, sometimes people will still have their lameness. They'll still have their problem, but you got to get them out of the place of no word and bring them to a place of the word with their lame self. See, you what? You didn't come here whole. All of us at some point came lame. And because we came, I wish I had somebody here. Because somebody fetched us out of Lo Debar. Somebody decided not to leave me in the place of no word. Somebody decided not to leave me in a barren place. A place where I was sad. A place where I was depressed. A place where I was feeling sorry for myself. A place where I didn't think I could do anything for myself. A place where it seemed like wasn't nothing going to happen for me. And I wasn't worried about it no more. I just started to accept my lameness. I started to accept that I had no word. I started to accept people taking advantage of me. I started to accept these things. And so God says, no, I got a cyber for you. I got somebody to come get you. I wish I had somebody in the house. I got somebody that'll come pick you up. I wish I had a person in here. I got somebody who won't change. See, the word cyber or zebra, his name actually means statue. In other words, I need somebody who won't change on me. A statue won't change, will it? I wish I had somebody. I just want to share a little bit with you. I need somebody to come get me that won't change up. Because when you see my lameness, you won't flip-flop on me because I'm lame. When you see I'm in a dry place, you won't flip-flop because I'm dry. When you see me hurting, you won't flip-flop and say, oh, I'm tired of hearing that belly aching. Well, come on and say, man, I need somebody who is a cyber, somebody who's a statue, who said that I shall not be moved, that I'm going to show you who I am. I'm going to be Christ-like no matter if you're doing good or if you're doing bad. I'm going to be right there to pick you up and help you out. Do I have any cybers in the house? Somebody who won't flip-flop on me because I got lameness, because I've been hurt, because I've been defeated, because I'm broke, busted, and disgusted, because I got some bad things that happen in my life. Do I have somebody? Tell somebody, no flip-flopping allowed. You got to stay with this thing. Oh, glory. I'm trying to get there. I'm halfway. Halfway. I want to show you something. David calls Ziba. Some say Ziba, whatever, but I like Ziba. Can I say that? David called him. Now, David is the king. The king is representing this. Here is the, I call it the cameo because it gives you two different, you know, here's the symbolic meaning, basically. The king, God is our king. God is only going to call Ziba to go get him out of Lo Debar. See, you've been flip-flopping too much.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Pimpty, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968.